We will talk about castle doctrine laws, racial stereotyping and profiling, and other related issues to the case involving the shooting death of a 17-year-old Florida youth, Trayvon Williams, and a castle doctrine case in Wisconsin that you just heard in the news. Some are comparing it to the Florida case. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, March the 23rd. But first, we are listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio, and this is our spring membership drive. We are here today to raise some money in support of the programs that you enjoy on this station and asking you to make a gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Joining me is Cheryl Gasser, and Cheryl, the amount of a pledge is completely up to the listener.
Absolutely. Completely up to you. Any amount makes you a member of Wisconsin Public Radio. Now, last hour, our goal was 20 pledges, and we heard from 15 listeners. Thank you so much. 7 brand new members to Wisconsin Public Radio last hour. So thank you for your contribution. But now, brand new hour, brand new goal. Our goal is to get 50 pledges, 50 pledges by 8 o'clock this morning. So please help us to meet this goal. It helps to ensure that WPR has the money we need to fund these wonderful and insightful programs that you have come to rely on. So contribute now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
The Ideas Network is with you all day and all night long, whether you ride to work or do errands with us, cook dinner with us, listen at home or at work. You'll get interesting discussions whenever you want them. We're always here, and you make that possible with your contribution. Wisconsin Public Radio would not be what it is without your support. At WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And during this drive, you will be entered into an exciting drawing when you make a pledge of any amount. It's a trip for two on a garden tour of London with WPR host Larry Mueller. You can learn more about the details of the trip and make your pledge online at WPR.org.
In just a moment, we are going to be welcoming in UW-Milwaukee Professor Stan Stojkovic. We are going to be talking with him about that very, very sad case in Florida where the 17-year-old was shot by a neighborhood watch leader in a gated community. And now there's national outrage over this case and the fact that the shooter has not been arrested. We'll talk about how Florida's Stand Your Ground law probably has something to do with why the shooter has not been arrested. And we'll also talk about this this Castle Doctrine law case in Wisconsin. And we will also welcome your reactions and your questions about the issues raised by both of those cases. Now, this is the type of conversation that we try to have on a regular basis, important issues that matter to all of us. So help us pay for this programming by making your contribution, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now, not tomorrow, not next week, but right now. It's a great thing to do with 2 minutes of your time. That's all it takes. Just give us your name, contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay for it. And whether you call or pledge online, we keep your personal information safe. We don't share it with any other organizations.
You can give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift supports the stories and programs that keep you connected to the world.
Now, Wisconsin Public Radio works on the honor system. You don't have to pay for it, but think about what you would pay if you had to. $5 a month, $10 a month, $1 a day. You decide the amount, then go to WPR.org and make your contribution.
So we are again looking for 50 pledges during this hour. That's a lot, but we know that you and your neighbor and your friend, that all together we can do this. Help out now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you can do something great for others and for yourself. When you give $120 or more to Wisconsin Public Radio, you can request Food for 40 as your thank you gift, helping those in need in your region. And you'll also be entered into a drawing for a trip for two on a garden tour of London with Larry Mueller. Give now at WPR.org.
All of that with just one pledge.
Right? One pledge.
And you will be helping to pay for Wisconsin Public Radio programming as well. Thanks very much, Cheryl. We'll talk to you a little bit later. And thanks to all of you if you have already contributed to Wisconsin Public Radio. But if not, we could use your help at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Well, let me welcome in our guest as we talk about these Castle Doctrine laws and the other issues that are raised by these cases in Florida and here in Wisconsin. And we'll welcome your questions and your reactions for our guest. A different number if you want to call in and be on air. That's 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Stan Stojkovic, Dean of the Helen Bader School of Social Welfare and Professor in the Department of Criminal Justice at the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee. He joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, tell us first your general thoughts on the shooting death of Trayvon Martin in Florida and the issues that are being raised.
Well, obviously, this is a tragedy, and this is a tragedy that may have been confounded by the existing law in Florida and the inability of the police to respond initially in a quick and an efficient fashion. Clearly, it takes time to determine what exactly happened, and everybody wants an answer yesterday, and the police don't have that luxury. But also, we do know some facts right now that seem to be somewhat disturbing in terms of collection of evidence. Was the gentleman who had shot Mr. Martin and killed him, was he under any kind of alcohol or drugs? There's all sorts of unanswered questions, immediate questions about the facts and the evidence in the case. There are larger questions concerning the viability of this law, the Stand Your Ground law in Florida, and what does it actually mean? And obviously the courts are going to have to interpret that.
Yeah, tell us what Stand Your Ground means.
Basically, if you are in an encounter with an individual and it's you are defending yourself, you're a potential victim of crime, you can stand your ground under Florida law. Under the old law, what it meant was once the person was no longer assertive, did not pose a threat to you, you could not use deadly force. But under the current interpretation of the law, you can stand your ground, and if the person is running away, like in this particular case, the individual had actually left. And then you can still engage the person. So it allows you to become an aggressor under law, and potentially you could seriously harm, or in this particular case, the individual was killed.
Is Stand Your Ground an extension of the Castle Doctrine law that we have in Wisconsin?
Not necessarily. The Castle Doctrine law really allows people to defend property, to defend their home and their loved ones. If they perceive that an intruder is unlawfully in their home, in other words, has broken into their home, and now it poses a threat to the family. If you can show that to be the case, we had that under the old law, but now this gives the person, the homeowner, greater rights. Less review almost initially by the courts, or excuse me, by the district attorney's office. This law will be in the court system for a number of years. People will be interpreting and reinterpreting the law. So we don't give the kind of proactive position that the Florida law allows people to ultimately assume.
But we did. We have our Castle Doctrine law in the news this morning. It was decided yesterday that a homeowner in Slinger who shot and killed a 20-year-old man earlier this month, this 20-year-old apparently was running away from police. He had been at an underage drinking party. He was hiding in the enclosed porch of this homeowner, and the homeowner shot and killed him. But under the Castle Doctrine law, apparently he did nothing wrong. He was acting in self-defense, according to the Castle Doctrine law.
Well, the district attorney of the county there felt that the homeowner complied with the elements of the law. Under the old law, you had to prove that this intruder was a threat to you, was a threat to your family, that there was great bodily harm or even death was imminent. Under the new law, if a person is in your home, on your porch, illegally, now, the law says you have to break in, and that's going to be interpreted by the courts. Did this gentleman break into the house? Did he have a lawful reason to be there? Clearly he did not. So under the current law, yes, the district attorney was probably correct in his interpretation, yet this is going to be second-guessed for a long time to come.
Well, in Wisconsin, no charges. Do you expect we might see charges in Florida?
It's a possibility. In Florida, the federal government has stepped in, but their role is to see if there are civil rights violations. Did this gentleman act inappropriately? And one of the key factors is going to be when he called the police and he told the police there was a suspicious individual, and they asked him, are you following the individual? He said yes. They said stop doing that, but he did not. He kept on going forward. And under that law, he has the right to do that, but the evidence in this case still needs to be examined, and I think that the federal government will step in to look at civil rights, potential civil rights violations, as well as police negligence in some of these cases.
Yeah, so the shooter in Florida was with the neighborhood watch, and he said he was acting in self-defense when he shot Trayvon Martin. Do police just take his word for that?
Well, they're not supposed to. They're supposed to look at the evidence. Apparently, the responding police officer felt that the individual met the elements of the law and that he was defending himself. There was some type of altercation, but we don't know enough about, well, what happened in this altercation? What kind of harm actually occurred? You know, were there any witnesses to this? We don't really know this yet. It's fairly early in the investigation, and the police are being a little bit cautious, but at present, right now, there seems to be an action by this today was Mr. Zimmerman that may be questioned as to whether or not he actually had legal authority to stand his ground and to go forward and to defend himself, especially after the police and the 911 caller told him, stop, do not follow the individual. Well, he obviously pursued it. He took it a step further. So we'll have to see how this evolves. This obviously is a tragic event. As is the case here in Slinger in Wisconsin, but the courts are going to have to interpret the viability of these laws as a result.
Yeah, there was a witness of sorts that we heard about in the news. His Trayvon Martin's girlfriend was talking to him on a cell phone, and during part of this incident, he was saying, "Hey, someone's following me," and she said, "Run." He said, "No, I'm not going to run. I'm going to walk fast." And that just made me cry almost, because apparently, especially African American men are warned, don't run in a situation like this. Somebody will think you did something wrong.
Yes, this is the larger context. I mean, the issue of racial profiling, the issue of how does a person of color, particularly African-American or a Latino man or boy, typically, these are usually males who are involved in these kinds of situations, how are they to appropriately act? And should they be forced to do such a thing, do something different than anyone else would be required to do? That's the question, and that's an issue. And that's a larger societal issue that we have to address, something that clearly we have wrestled with for many, many years, yet we haven't had clear changes in the way people perceive certain individuals, particularly young men of color.
Yeah, and this neighborhood watch guy thought that Martin was suspicious, and you know, because he was walking around in this gated community.
Well, excuse me. You know, this is the whole issue: is how do we train these people? This all sorts of secondary and ancillary issues are going to come out of this. Was this person trained? Did he follow that training? It sounds like he did not. It sounds like he stepped over what was appropriate. The police were called. He did make that call. That was appropriate. But clearly he went beyond that bounds when he went and continued to follow the individual. This was not his role. And so it raises questions of people acting inappropriately, you know, trying to do some good, obviously, but ultimately leading toward a tragedy when they don't follow what's supposed to be done. And while this guy is not a governmental official, clearly the expectation is that he has to act within the accordance and the rules and policies and ways that the police have suggested watch commanders should act. And this did not happen, at least upon initial review.
We are talking with Stan Stojkovic, Dean of the Helen Bader School of Social Welfare, a professor in the Department of Criminal Justice at UW-Milwaukee. We're taking a look at Castle Doctrine laws, Stand Your Ground law in Florida, racial profiling, racial stereotyping, and other issues raised by the shooting death of Trayvon Martin in Florida. And there's also another case in Wisconsin involving the Castle Doctrine law that that some are saying is somewhat similar to what's happened in Florida. And we're welcoming your questions, your reactions, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. To the phones now for your questions for Stan Stojkovic, who is a professor in the Department of Criminal Justice at UW-Milwaukee, and Lyman in Beloit is with us. Hello, Lyman.
Hi, good morning, Joy. Good morning, Professor Stojkovic. Thanks for taking my call. I'm wondering about the validity of lumping these subjects together. It really seems to me that Castle Doctrine and, what it means for a homeowner and a property owner and what is occurring or has occurred down in Florida are entirely different subjects. I mean, I understand the overlap with kind of citizen justice as an issue. But it seems like what's going on down in Florida is very racialized, or at least it would appear so, and versus what happened up north. I don't know. I really don't feel like these two things belong together.
Okay, thanks. We appreciate your input, Lyman. I wanted to give our listeners an opportunity to talk about both of the cases. Eugene Kane, a columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, did make the comparison this week between the Florida case and the Wisconsin case. We did, by the way, try to reach out to him to have him on the program today, but he wasn't able to. But Professor Stojkovic, are these two cases completely different and shouldn't be discussed together?
Well, it's really the issue of force and the use of force. I mean, that's one way of viewing this. How can an ordinary citizen use force under law? That's the question. And then the context, the situations clearly are different. Their particulars are different. But the reality is that you do have a situation in which laws have been written in recent times by legislatures across the country, giving people a broader girth, a wider girth, I should say, an opportunity to employ force, in this case deadly force in some cases, in such a way that the law protects. And so I think the people of these states across the country have to ask questions about, does this actually make sense? Should we have had this public discussion and debate before the tragedy? And oftentimes these laws are pushed through very quickly. The debate is minimal. Individuals pass the laws, and then all of a sudden we have to live with the consequences. So the issue of citizen justice, citizen rights to use and enforce the law and take the law in such a way, in such an extreme way, really have to constantly be questioned by the government. And I think that that's what's going to be happening in both of these cases. If anything good comes out of these two cases, is the review and the examination of these laws.
Stand by, Professor Stojkovic. We are going to check news. We are also going to remind listeners that we are in our spring membership drive, and then we will talk more about these issues raised by the Trayvon Martin case in Florida and this Castle Doctrine case here in Wisconsin. Joining me now is Cheryl Gasser to help encourage you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning, Joy. 1-800-888-202-2552 is the number to call, or pledge online at WPR.org. We are looking for 50 pledges in the next 35 minutes or so. Definitely doable. Your pledge right now will make the difference, will help keep this program going strong. So make a contribution in support of everything you learn on Joy's show and the Ideas Network. Make your pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, we hear great guests all day long on the Ideas Network. Professor Stojkovic is a guest we go to on a fairly regular basis when there are are criminal justice or social welfare issues in the news. This is a unique radio service in the nation, and your support makes it possible. Pledge now for the station you rely on and that you enjoy at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We hear from a lot of first-time pledgers who are giving because they've gotten their first job out of college and can finally afford to give, or people who turned 30 or 40 and realize, I'm a grown-up now, and it's time to support Wisconsin Public Radio.
Giving money to something you believe in, a service you rely on, it's a great way to commemorate a new phase in your life, so we encourage it. You decide the amount and then go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Many of us are committed to making our community a better place. We volunteer, for example, we recycle, we help those in need, and making a financial contribution to WPR makes our community a better place, too.
Your investment, put together with donations from others, makes the music, news, and talk on Wisconsin Public Radio available to everyone. We're proud to be an important part of this community. Help us stay strong with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you can choose one of several ways to pay for your pledge. One of them is ongoing monthly installments directly from your bank account. Once it's set up, your membership renews automatically and you don't have to think about it again.
It's a great way to be a sustaining member of WPR. It saves paper, it's easy, it's the most cost-effective choice, meaning your pledge will go much further. So start your sustaining membership right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And to stay on track for this hour, we still need to hear from 43 pledges in the next half hour. So help out now. Make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you know, Cheryl, last year, Wisconsin Public Radio listeners gave more than 71,000 meals to people in need in Wisconsin. This is just amazing, and we're going to try to do that again. So as a special incentive for your pledge, you give $120 a year or more to help support Wisconsin Public Radio, and you can request Food for 40 as your thank you gift.
That's a wonderful, wonderful way to support your community and your public radio station. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And also don't forget, for a pledge of any amount, you'll be entered into a drawing for a trip for two to London with Larry Mueller. Get the details and pledge now online at WPR.org.
Thank you so much if you've pledged so far, but if you haven't, or if you'd like to add to your pledge, do so now. Join Kim from Milwaukee, who says, I love you. I love you too, Kim. I am so thankful for you. I feel I can get information on Wisconsin Public Radio that is not available on commercial news stations. Wisconsin Public Radio provides a level of depth not available anywhere. Thank you. We are talking about the issues raised by the shooting death of a Florida teenager, Trayvon Martin, by a neighborhood watch leader in a gated community back in February. And we're welcoming your reactions and your questions, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 7:36 on this Thursday, March the 22nd. And we are talking with Stan Stojkovic, Dean of the Helen Bader School of Social Welfare and Professor in the Department of Criminal Justice at UW-Milwaukee. Right back to the phones, and Jeff in Fond du Lac joins us next. Hello, Jeff.
Hello, Joy. Thanks for taking my call. This is truly a tragedy, but I do have a question for the professor. Why has this particular death reached such national effect? You referred to it, Joy, as the national outrage, and it truly is. So why has this one reached it when there are so many deaths like this in the inner cities of young black men and young Hispanic men every single night of the week? Why has this one, do you think, reached such national outrage?
That's a very good question. I mean, I think the caller is correct. There are a lot of these kinds of actions. They're not common necessarily, but they happen too often. And in this particular case, I think because of the nature of the relationship, Race has obviously been playing a factor. We now know that Mr. Zimmerman, the individual who did the shooting, is of Hispanic descent. And there are issues of race. There's issues of police activity or inactivity in this particular case. It's a unique question. There's probably people pushing on both sides to have this issue addressed in a different format. Obviously, the federal government has been called into it. They have decided to step in to see if there have been any civil rights violations. So these types of things occur. They don't occur, every day, but they occur in some communities much more so than we would expect. And when they turn out to be such tragedies, at least on first review, a clear tragedy occurred. It's unclear as to what the specific reasons were as to why things went forward, but clearly they did. So now we have to respond. So there could be potentially a number of theories as to why this ultimately occurred.
Our next caller is Victor in Milwaukee. Hello, Victor.
Good morning, Joy. Good morning, Professor. I'm looking at your point as far as training. Presently, right now, I'm a security officer. I'm on patrol, and I do drive around to look at certain properties. I'm wondering, do they have the same laws in Florida? Because here in Wisconsin, if you got handcuffs, a baton, and pepper spray, all three of those you have to be specifically trained on, along with definitely a weapon. And you have to pass this training and get licensed for each and every one of them. If I violate any of those, if I go ahead and with a dirty, hairy vigilante justice enact on my own, I'm subject to both criminal and civilian lawsuits. I'm wondering, do they have this down in Florida? Because, of course, obviously, he went beyond his scope of responsibility. And I hope the NAACP and all the federal agencies pursue this and turn over every stone and try him.
Professor Stojkovich?
My sense is that they have some laws. I don't know the specific content laws. I can't imagine, on the one hand, that he had no training. That, in other words, he was given a gun or allowed to take a personal weapon without any training and become a block watch president and walk the neighborhood. That is, however, possible. It is possible that that may have occurred. States vary considerably in terms of the training and training expectations. So it's going to be very difficult. I'd like to see that issue brought out. It ultimately will. But the caller is correct. In the state of Wisconsin, there is all sorts of training required. And remember, private security people are not police officers. They do not have police arrest powers. That's left for the police for a specific reason. And so having them trained and holding them accountable is what this is going to be ultimately all about. And we'll have to see how it plays out.
Anything else, Victor?
Yes, one more quick point. Here in Wisconsin, as you're aware, we have concealed and carry. And add to that, last year we had an ugly incident that happened at State Fair. And I can see something similarly happen here in Wisconsin like that. I pray and hope it doesn't, but it would not surprise me.
Yeah. How worried are you about that, Professor Stojkovich?
Well, it's always a possibility that something like this can occur. And when you have laws that ultimately are written that broaden the authority of the typical citizen and lessen their responsibility in front of law, then you're going to have events ultimately that could potentially lead to tragedy, could be way far aflung. And I have always contended that most of the laws passed here in Wisconsin over the last year, carry concealed, the Castle Doctrine, are more symbolic attempts than anything else. They're symbolisms. They're trying to do something, to accomplish something. What they're trying to accomplish with this, I'm not totally sure. The incidents of bad events are typically going to be rare, but they're going to happen. And so we have to respond, and we have to look at refining the law or maybe getting rid of the law. It depends basically on what's actually happening. What we have seen in Florida, for example, is a real increase and rise in these kinds of vigilante acts where people are freed of or given justified homicide clearances where under old law that may not have occurred. Now, we haven't seen that in Wisconsin clearly yet, and I hope we don't see that. But this is a consequence of laws that are oftentimes written in haste, poorly conceived, and then ultimately implemented. And then again, as I said earlier, we have to live with the consequences.
Tony on Facebook writes, a Stand Your Ground law is the next logical step beyond Wisconsin's Castle Doctrine, which was rammed through the legislature this past session along with concealed carry. if the recalls and the November general elections aren't taken seriously, Wisconsin could become the next Florida for something like this to happen. Do you know, Professor Stojkovic, if there has been any attempt in Wisconsin to try to get a stand your ground law as opposed to the Castle Doctrine that we have?
I know of no one offering this or suggesting this as a law. It would be a bad idea. But then again, I said the Castle Doctrine and carry concealed were also bad ideas. I think at the end of the day, like I said a few moments ago, these are symbolic acts. But when you start to push the law and, again, provide people greater immunity under law and really start to blur the difference between government and citizen, then you start to get into a lot of potential trouble. And that's what these events actually highlight.
Yeah. Now, what I don't understand is I thought that self-defense was a defense, that you know, if you were trying to save your life or the life of a loved one, that that you could use deadly force.
Absolutely, that was the law. That's the history of the law. But there's a difference when an individual, you're defending yourself, and let's say no longer the threat exists, the person is running away. Now, understand your ground. You can, at least one interpretation is you can go forward and chase that person. Even though in this particular case in Florida, the police told them, don't do that. Stop. We will handle the matter. It's blurring of distinction between police action and public action that becomes very, very difficult. Under the old law, if an individual did not pose a threat to you, you could not run down the street here in Wisconsin and in most states and then shoot the person because they didn't pose a threat to you. But now, under the Castle Doctrine, if that person is unlawfully in your home, regardless of their threat to you, you can believe that that's a threat, and in fact, some would argue if someone breaks into your home, one can't imagine a more serious threat, and I can understand that interpretation. So there's a lot to be interpreted here by the courts. It just gives greater power to the citizen. Some like that. Others think that that is potentially dangerous and a bad move.
Eugene in Viola is with us now. Hi, Eugene.
Good morning, Joy. I do not like that Castle Doctrine law, because keeping a loaded gun in the house is just asking for trouble. It's just too dangerous, pretty much, and it's too easy to make a mistake, and the average, it's just too easy for something to go wrong,
yeah.
Pretty much. If you're keeping that loaded gun around, it's just plain bad news. That's my only comment.
All right, thank you. React to that, Professor Stojkovic?
Well, clearly there are a large number of people who hold that view, and that's a legitimate view to hold. I understand. I personally believe that the caller's position on this is correct, yet I understand the need and the necessity of some other people to view it differently. And that's what this country is all about. The question becomes consequences and how do we pay for those consequences. And clearly there's going to be civil actions and, you know, what's going to happen? Are people going to get sued? And are they protected by potential lawsuits? These are all things that, you know, are going to come up. And things that we're going to have to deal with. The question is it worth it? At the end of the day, does it actually make us safer? And I'll argue, since the incidence of this is so rare still, I really don't see the utility of such a law. Mm-hmm. But the legislature has spoken. We're going to have to react.
Our next caller is Chris in La Crosse. Hello, Chris.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My question is, you have stated that this was a gated community. Are the streets in this community privately owned, or are they publicly owned? Do you know that?
Personally, I don't. I just know that it has been described as a gated community. It was a community where the young man's father was with his fiance. His fiance had a home in this gated community, and that's why he was there. And he went to the convenience store to pick up Skittles and some iced tea, and on his way back from the convenience store, that's when this occurred.
Okay, so he had a reason to be there. And my second comment is, I believe we will always have a race issue in the United States until people refer to people, either you are an American or you are not. I believe that the race issue will always be here. And frankly, it offends me when people fall back on their nationality. Either they are American or they are not an American.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
All right. Do you have a reaction to that, Professor Stojkovic?
Well, I think that's a limited view. We are a melting pot. We are African-American. We are Caucasian American, we are Latin American, we are a culturally diverse community. This issue of violence through the prism of race and ethnicity is something America has never dealt with adequately. That is the bottom line, and clearly people have a right in this country to affirm their ethnic heritage. The reality is that things do play out in many times in tragic situations along racial and ethnic lines. If this gentleman who was the shooter was white, so to speak, this would have even been worse. And I know people want people to stay away from that. Look at the facts. But the facts are clearly racially defined and ethnically defined in this country. The history of America is not good in that regard. And as a result, individuals of color who are in a minority class feel persecuted. They feel, and they have evidence to support that persecution. So I can understand why the caller would say that, but I do not agree with it, given the history of this country.
And I guess so. We've heard that if Trayvon was a white 17-year-old walking on the sidewalks, that it would be in this community that this neighborhood watch person would probably be less likely to think he was a suspicious person.
That's a possibility. Now, in defense of Mr. Zimmerman, the individual shooter, he did say he was acting strangely. The question is, what does that mean? What do you mean that he was acting strangely? Because he had a hoodie on? Because he was walking fast? What does that actually mean? And those things are not criminal behavior. That's the issue here. When you start to look at these kinds of things, it's the idea of stereotyping, profiling. Those types of things do occur, and we have to respond to these types of things. So this is going to be a serious case on all sorts of dimensions. So following it will be very important.
Michael in Madison is with us. Hello, Michael.
Hi. I'm a combat veteran. I have a combat infantry badge. I have had extensive training in rules of engagement and use of force. I'm totally abhorred by what happened in Florida. But as far as the Slinger incident, when you have somebody breaking into your home, probably under the use of alcohol, you've got adrenaline pumping. I can see that happening repeatedly. Whether there's a Castle Doctrine or not, I could see myself having been in the exact same situation.
Yeah, so your point is?
That you
think the Castle Doctrine is a good law to have on the books because that homeowner should have been able to, without fear of prosecution, shoot that person on his porch.
I'm saddened by what happened and the circumstances, but I think the homeowner in Wisconsin needs that protection. And that homeowner, if I were in his position, I'd probably have ended up in the exact same situation, even though I feel I would have been totally justified doing so.
Right. Professor Strykovich.
Well, the issue really is, under the old law, you had the ability to protect your property, to protect your house, your family, but you couldn't use deadly force to protect property. Under the Castle Doctrine, you can. And so you start to raise questions of, is that appropriate? Well, under the old law, if an individual broke into my home, I couldn't imagine a situation, again, where you would not be the most feared, that your life was at stake. But under the old law, prosecutors looked at it, well, were you actually threatened? What was the evidence of this? Now, someone breaks into your home, at least one interpretation of this law, you know, the fact of the matter is it's a prima facie case that you can use deadly force. And that becomes problematic, and it really becomes very, very difficult as to how the law is ultimately interpreted. Mm-hmm. The district attorney obviously felt that there was not sufficient evidence to charge this individual, that he had acted within the confines of the law, and we'll have to live with that. But then again, this is always an action for the legislature. The legislature passed this very quickly. The consequences we have to live with, this may or may not be a bad consequence. It may or may not be the right decision. It's a tough call, but it was a call that had to be made. And clearly the district attorney felt that the homeowner in this case was within his purview and power as defined under law.
Thank you so much, Professor Strykovich, for being with us.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Stan Stojkovic, Dean of the Helen Bader School of Social Welfare, professor in the Department of Criminal Justice at UW-Milwaukee. It's going to be a partly to mostly cloudy day today, some scattered showers and a chance of storms, highs ranging from the 60s in the north to the 70s in the south. I'm Joy Cardine with Cheryl Gasser, and this is Wisconsin Public Radio's Spring Membership Drive. You count on WPR's Ideas Network for talk about issues that matter to you, and we count on you to keep these discussions on the air. Make a gift of any amount right now and help us pay for the programs that you depend on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we are looking for 50 pledges by 8 o'clock this morning, just about 7 minutes to go. So help keep us on track with your pledge of support to keep the programs that you count on, like the Joy Cardine Show, going strong. Of course, if you've already given, thank you so much for your support. But if not, give now online at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, I hope you have been enjoying and found some worth, some value in this discussion about Castle Doctrine laws and Florida's Stand Your Ground laws and the issues of racial profiling and stereotyping, as we were talking with UW-Milwaukee professor Stan Stojkovic. Now take a few minutes to make this hour and many hours to come possible. Put a value on the programs that you listen to every day, and then make your pledge at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
We heard from Kate in Madison this hour, who says WPR is one of the most important sources of sustenance that we have. Thank you for bringing us important information and brightening every day. Well, Kate, thank you for brightening our day and supporting Wisconsin Public Radio with your pledge. And Kate, along with everyone who pledges during this drive, will be entered into a drawing for a trip for two on a garden tour of England with Larry Mueller. And the lucky winner could be you with your pledge at WPR.org.
We hope you do pledge to pay for the programs that you're listening to and to participate in the drawing. But you also can send a postcard with your name, address, and telephone number to WPR England Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. So enter by sending a postcard or by making a pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Think of everything you learn on the Joy Cardine Show, everything you learn on the Ideas Network, and how your life is enriched by Wisconsin Public Radio. And then make a pledge. Give online at WPR.org. It's so easy. It takes a gift of just a dollar or two a week and just a few minutes of your time.
You can listen to Wisconsin Public Radio on the radio, whether you're in the car or at home or at work. And you can listen online at WPR.org anytime that a radio is not handy.
Wisconsin Public Radio is in your life, no matter what you're doing or where you are, we're there for you. So pledge now to support this access to great quality radio, to the uniqueness of the Ideas Network. Pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Help us to make this first day of our spring pledge drive a success.
Yes, we are still working toward that 50 pledge goal. We have 34 to go, so you can be one of those pledges that helps us reach that goal and helps pay for the programming on Wisconsin Public Radio, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you can, please consider making a leadership gift of $1,200 a year or more, and your gift, that's $100 a month, will help to pay for others who can't afford to contribute right now. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And any gift makes you a member, and every amount is welcome and appreciated.
You enjoy this program during the week and perhaps many others. You might also enjoy Car Talk, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and A Prairie Home Companion on the weekend. We've got something for you every day of the week and try to make the weekends extra fun.
And your pledge right now supports all of the programs that you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio. It's easy to donate. Just go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Help pay for the programs you depend on. And again, we are looking to reach 50 pledges before the end of this hour, and we have 34 more to go. So let's try to get as close as possible to stay on track. Make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We also heard from Maria in Richland Center this hour, who says, I enjoy listening to Wisconsin Public Radio every morning as I get ready for work. It's a great and easy way to stay informed. Well, Maria, thanks for listening, and thanks for your pledge of support during the Joy Cardine Show. How about you? WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, Cheryl, thank you so much for being here. And thank you, dear listener, if you have already contributed to Wisconsin Public Radio. Maybe you're one of our sustaining members. Thank you so very much. Right now, though, we are looking for you if you've never made a pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio before, or maybe it's time to renew, or maybe it's been a while. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.